Okay, we are on section three, number two. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Angela Ryan, CBD, in case number 2168. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 322234. Ms. Ryan, would you please state your name for the record?
Angela Ryan.
Thank you. Ms. Ryan, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take in this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation. The terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you'd like to present to the board, please do so now. I guess that's a moot point because you're on the phone. So moving on, this proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Ms. Frost, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Sorry, one second here. I'm just getting my feeling. Okay, so let's see. So on December 9th, during our Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board did vote to open an investigation due to Ms. Ryan's completed renewal application disclosing that she was charged and convicted with a felony in July of 2020, which she failed to report within in 10 days. During the proposed findings of fact and the disclosure, a letter was sent, and there was a response at that time. We went over what the pleading was and explained that it was drug use. There was a reach out to Community Bridges in April of 2019 for substance abuse issues and underwent treatment. The respondent, Ms. Ryan, also underwent therapeutic counseling. There was a consent agreement offered, which was declined, and that's where we're at currently.
Thank you. Ms. Ryan, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Ms. Ryan, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I don't really have anything
to say. Okay, sorry. Ms. Ryan, can you speak up a bit and repeat what you just said? We do have a court reporter taking down or transcribing, and she can't make out what you're saying.
If you're on speaker, does it actually get on the phone?
Yeah.
I'm not on speaker. The charge is that, I disclosed had nothing to do with the drug use. That is something that I just disclosed to the court, and they said, great, continue with what you're doing. It kind of bothers me in that, if you were drinking alcohol for tonight, if you said, I don't want to,
Ms. Ryan, you slow down. Adjust the speaker to your mouth or something. We're not catching everything.
Okay. All right.
Go back to where you were talking about alcohol.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You know, if you were using alcohol most nights a week, and it wasn't something you were doing during the day or affecting your work or anything like that, and you went to seek help, you know, I don't think that would be viewed the same way, but it is the same thing, you know what I mean? Like, I went to seek help. It's probably a situation that, you know, maybe there are other factors, you know, that led me going there instead of just stopping, you know, and I would change what I did. But, you know, when it says chronic or affecting your work, like, it's not, none of those things are true. Like, is it chronic if it was for a couple of months and not every day? Is it, you know, is it something that, it kind of bothers me in the first place that that's what you guys are so bothered by when it has nothing to do with my work. You know, I never called in the strips, I never used drugs at work, I never stole medications, and part of that is why, you know, in the consent agreement, I mean, there's things that I declined to sign it because I just did not feel, it feels like a cookie cutter, this is what we give for everyone, and it's just, some things do not fit with me. And so, you know, I was not going to sign something that, you know, I felt was, you know, not, I don't know how to say it, like it's invasive. Like, I don't think that all of my counselors need to report to me. I think that's my own, you know, if you want my substance use counselor to report to you, that's fine. I don't think that anyone else. That's not your business. And to say that I can only go to one pharmacy, like, if I was calling in scripts or something and you wanted me to, you know, see where I was getting medications from, like, I'm about to lose my insurance. I'm going to go to whatever pharmacy has the cheapest medication I need. You know, I can see, you know, all of my medication, my suspect being called into one pharmacy, I mean, it always is anyways, or if there were any controlled substance things for you to know about that, but I don't think it's any of your business if I'm on birth control or if I need anti-non-medication or anything like that. So some of the things in there were more invasive than they need to be, so I'm just not going, that's why I didn't sign it.
All right, I would like to now ask board members if they have any questions for Ms. Ryan.
Yes,
this is Ms. Frost. I don't have any questions, just because we did spend a significant amount of time thinking at length. You know, I don't know if it's appropriate now to address some of the things that Ms. Ryan is speaking of. Being a certified veterinary technician is a privilege in this state. And so as a CVT, you are required to report to the board and comply with, you know, board, with our statutes and also with orders. And so unfortunately, this is a situation where, you know, what was presented because you are a CVT, and it's not a reflection on you badly as a human, as we had talked about.
Hang on a second, one at a time, let Ms. Frost finish, and we are going to come back to you. Go ahead, Ms. Frost.
Again, you know, unfortunately, this is a situation that nobody plans to be in, and I'm sorry that the situation you found yourself in at this point, but again, I do not have any questions for Ms. Ryan.
All Okay, any other board members have questions?
No.
All right, so the board is the complainant in this case, so we don't have to call anybody for that. Ms. Ryan, do you have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Well, when I was last there, I told you guys, you know, we talked about the consent agreement and all that.
Can you make sure you're holding that phone up close, please?
Right, the things that we had talked about, I was okay with, you know, giving you guys my CDSs, having my substance use counselor report to you guys, but then I get this consent agreement and it has a bunch of other things in it. But it pops out of nowhere. I don't understand, like, where all that comes from, or...
So, it is somewhat boilerplate, but it's also tried and true that we know applying those things, making those things happen, eventually scaling those back as it goes on, we see people recover, get off probation, and go on with successful careers that we're not going to see them again. Probably won't see them again.
Mr. Chair,
so part of that issue is that since I have started, I have not, I mean, you guys, I hope, read the letter from my substance use doctor. You know, I've had clean EDSs. I haven't relapsed. It's not, you know, the only reason I got into it in the first place was a mistake with the person I was seeing at the time. You know, nothing I enjoyed, nothing I am drawn to, nothing I, you know, have a want to do. So, you know, my risk is, well, since the last almost 2 years now, it's zero. You know, I've been pregnant and breastfeeding. Like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not a horrible human. I'm not going to do that when I have a child.
Hey, I'm sorry, so I'm not going to.
Yeah,
I can't hear you.
You know, you think...
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. The court reporter's not catching everything. Can you go back to when you started talking about the child for breastfeeding?
Right. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to take drugs or use drugs when I'm pregnant, when I'm breastfeeding, when I have a child. So, I mean, like... You know, you guys say that you do this and to have these restrictions in order to, you know, help people recover. The only reason that any of that has popped up and that I'm still on my medication is because they won't let me reduce and get off of it when I'm pregnant or breastfeeding, and I'm still breastfeeding. Otherwise, I would have been. I mean, I wanted, the day that I went in, they told me I was pregnant, was the day I was going to ask them to start reducing my medication. Like, you know, this would have been something that was over and done with years ago if it wasn't for that I had to stay on it and so it didn't force the date. Like, you know, so you can say it's for, you know, recovery or relapse prevention. You know, I don't see my, like, that's not, that doesn't fit me either. You know, I've been around my child's father who relapsed multiple times while I was around him, and, you know, I never once even was tempted to be still with him, you know? And I see what you guys are saying, that probably does work for a bunch of people. I'm not every person.
Can I ask a question of Orsa? Victoria, after the consent agreement was sent out, did Ms. Ryan ever reach out to board staff for any kind of clarification or understanding of what was in the board order, or asking to, you know, how she could make changes or anything to that nature?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, yes, she did. She and I went back a couple times, looked which we would do in this type of situation. It was my opinion as the executive director that what she was asking, what she wanted to change, would not be things that the board would accept.
And so you just didn't even present them?
Which is what you're doing right now, Angela.
Yeah. And that is the whole point. If the consent agreement isn't accepted, it goes to informal. I mean, could have gone to informal first. Okay. So I get what we're still at this point. If you got Ms. Ryan, if you got any additional remarks or questions?
No.
Are there any more questions for the board members? This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Ms. Frost, you will lead.
Yes, I understand that no situation that is presented to this board is one size fits all. Nothing is cookie cutter. No two people are alike. In this situation, when this type of situation comes before the board, when there is some sort of charge that has to be disclosed or is disclosed, or it's not a comfortable situation, I'm confident for the license holder and for the board. We want every professional to succeed. And in this situation, while the first conversation we had was very emotional for Ms. Ryan, and again, not an easy conversation to have, I can understand, her concerns that, she's doing her best and she's doing all of the things that, that she feels are right for her. And I think that's admirable. However, it's the board's charge to protect the public, and it doesn't mean that we're protecting them from somebody who's a bad person, but we have standards that we do have to uphold. And as Mr. Lohia referenced, we have found that this particular proposal of how we work with license holders who have found themselves in this situation, it's been very successful, and we want nothing but success. And I feel that if Ms. Ryan has expressed the success that she's had, then she will only continue to be successful. So I make a motion proceed with the original presented consent agreement. Not sure if I need to word that differently.
Chairman, I have a question of council.
Please see.
Do we reoffer consent agreements, or once they have been declined and come to informal, what are our options for our next steps?
You do, you always have the ability to reoffer the consent agreement, but because we're at a formal interview, you have the unilateral authority to issue an order. With the understanding, though, because we are in an informal, your options for discipline are limited, especially as they relate to the suspension of the license. In the consent agreement, it refers to a state suspension. At an informal interview, you only have the authority to suspend up to 30 days. So that would, you would need to make a modification if you were to want to adopt the order that was set forth in the consent agreement.
I have a follow-up question, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
If we do a 30-day suspension, Do we then have, what happens after that process? Do we then have the option of going to a formal?
No, you would, if you believe that this case warrants the suspension of the license, the certificate for more than 30 days, you would need to remand it to a formal. Or offer a modified consent agreement, and if not signed, remand to formal.
Thank you.
Any other board members' comments, questions, counsel? Yes, I don't want to. Hammer this when mother were put around at work, but that license wouldn't necessarily put her at work. She could still work as an ordinary technician. And it does, and I can see her point where it almost feels like no good deed goes unpunished. You know, you passed the 10-day deadline. Only the board's discussing at this point. So, but at some point, you're going to have to realize that this is an ongoing thing now, that part of this, that felony, is totally out of our hands, and that's something that's going to be reported on every job application for the rest of your life, or the rest of this person's life. So at some point, that you have to realize that, you know what, there are some shames and humiliations in life that we all come across as one kind of another at some point, that they're there. They're not going away. So you can't be afraid. And whatever's going to be reported to us, this board, through a probation period, it's not going to leave this room. And we're not scrutinizing it to form an opinion of some person that we're looking at their records. We're just evaluating whether the program is working or not. And they're staying cleaned up. And that's it. We're not making any judgments about that person or anything else. It's just, I'd like to think we can make a compromise and make her comfortable. On the other hand, she's going to realize that, you know what, it's going to be uncomfortable the rest of your life. So you learn to live with it. You learn to pass on. I mean, we've all got things that we wish we hadn't done, but you know, you can't turn back the clock. But you can make a move forward. Again, a reminder, at this point, just the board is making deliberations, the testimony part of the book.
My concern is that we've been going down this path. We've had discussions. We've offered a consent agreement. It was declined. We are basically hearing that this is not any of our business, in so many words.
Hang on. The testimony part is over. The board is deliberating. Please don't interrupt. The court reporter cannot transcribe. You are not speaking slowly. You're not speaking into the phone very well. The court reporter cannot hear you. And at this point in time, the testimony portion is over. We're going to put you on mute if you can't be quiet and listen. That's my final word.
Yeah, continue.
Ms. Solomon, please continue.
And this just further demonstrates the the lack of cooperation and acknowledgement of the situation. I believe we should move forward with a formal hearing on this matter. For the purpose of suspending the license for greater than 30 days.
Is that a motion?
Yes, so moved.
Earlier you said we would have to alter the consent agreement if we wanted to offer that, and if not signed, move to a formal. But how would we have to alter it? Just by the suspension fee?
That's correct. Just because at this stage, we can't unilaterally put a state suspension, an unlimited state suspension into an order. One thing that you may want to think about, and completely feel free to shut me down if I'm misspeaking or speaking out of turn, but you could consider perhaps continuing this or remanding it to formal hearing, and in the interim offer her a consent agreement for the revocation of her license, but stay, or the certificate, but stay the revocation, and just require random bodily fluid tests, and if any come back positive, her certificate is automatically revoked, and there wouldn't be any of the other terms and conditions, the monitoring. But maybe that's the piece, because all of that is to make sure that she's clean and sober.
Mr. Chairman, Mark, if I could interject, she did hang up, it sounds like. One of the pieces that she was really didn't want to do was have to tell her employer, and that's where I was adamant that the board would not agree with that.
Yeah.
And so she's, if you want to do a different kind of consent agreement, I would suggest that that also be included, that she still has to notify her employer who is responsible for her actions at the premises where there are controlled substances held.
And I appreciate that, Victoria, because I do think, that's probably the most important point, is to make sure that she is being transparent. All the other things about, what she puts in her body, pharmacies, update counseling, you may want that. That may be very, important to you. But at the end of the day, this is about her just remaining clean. And, she's a professional. Put that responsibility on her. Should she have any missteps, then you have an order that says your certificate is revoked. But I just mentioned that as an option. Of course, you have everything up, else on the table as well.
I like that.
I just don't know if she even understands exactly what's going to happen.
Set the drug part aside, because that all happened before, and that really has nothing that was reported. She reported the felony.
Right.
That was the gun charge, hitting her boyfriend over the head with a gun, or whatever it was. That was the charge that was reported. That was the violation, not reporting that within 10 days. The rest of it's extraneous. She was already taken care of it. So I think it's a little bit different than somebody who got caught taking the tramadol from the control room in that respect. So I'm willing to go along with that. Submit your drug test, and the minute you got a positive, you lose your license, period.
And it is a consent agreement. If it's not signed, or any consent agreement that you decide to offer, if it's not signed, we would just remand the matter to formal hearing.
Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
It was her testimony that she was using, quote, a legal street drug. And when we questioned her, even though she resisted, we finally got her answer that she was referring to heroin. I think the seriousness of that requires more than drug testing.
Well, and my concern with it is, if we're really looking out for the public and the individual at hand, she needs therapy. She needs help. She may not realize it because she's not acting like this is a concern.
She's still trying to keep the shame secret.
Right, but she needs.
No, that's mine. There's a big denial going on here, and I just hear that complete denial on everything.
Hey, hang on. Your connection's really not good. I was going to use a different adjective. I shouldn't.
All right, I'll hold back then.
Well, that last little bit was a little better.
Well, sorry, you can hear me now. What I said was,
she's shaking her head.
It's okay if you speak slower. It's okay if you speak slower.
If you slow down, she can get it.
My big concern right now is I'm not hearing the responsibility of this. I'm hearing deflection. I'm hearing that this is not a big deal, these kinds of things. But that, my big concern is we still seem to be in denial about a very big problem.
So, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Wright, members of the board, then one option would be to, if you believe that the suspension is appropriate, you could reoffer the consent agreement, if not signed, remand a formal hearing. Or we can just remand it to formal hearing, and in the exercise of scheduling that, if she'd be willing to sign the CA.
But why are we offering her a consent agreement that she already declined?
Right.
Yeah. The only difference is that she knows that, you know, if she doesn't sign it, the possibility is that she could have her certification revoked after a formal administrative hearing.
Let me try this to see if this is better. I apologize. I think the consent agreement is what the consent agreement is, and if we're not going to accept it, I think a formal is the next step. Personally, this is not a minor issue. It's a big deal.
But I think the question is whether we give her the opportunity to sign it, if not going to a formal, or just go straight to a formal, right? I mean, that's really the question. So after going through something like this, maybe if she were wanting to do her due diligence, seeking advice from counsel, maybe she would understand why we put this in the document, in the consent agreement. So maybe giving her another opportunity would make her go, I probably need to sign it. And if it doesn't, who really cares? It's going to a formal anyway.
Well, it makes a difference. If you're doing that, then that formal may be in August instead of July.
It will be in August.
Be in August?
Yeah.
Well, would it make a difference? Would it be in September if we did it the other way?
Not necessarily, because, I'm hearing the discussion. You know, one of the things that I'll work with board staff on is getting the complaint notice of hearing issued. If at any time she agrees to sign the consent agreement, we can always bring it back to you, even if it's, at the time of the hearing. So.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, just something you may want to consider is that the case was open December 9th of 2020. So 6 months have gone by.
Yeah.
Already.
And I don't want you to think if you don't even, refer to the consent agreement, once a matter is referred to formal hearing, oftentimes it brings the parties together. And I'm sure in the past you've seen us come before you with something that we think is reasonable and appropriate. I know my marching orders are what's in the consent agreement.
Well,
I have
a
question of
counsel. Can you hear me this time?
Not really.
Just slow down.
Is that any better now?
Yes.
Okay, that's better. So my thing is, like I said, we already offered this consent agreement. This is kind of coming from our end. This is not a negotiation at this point. I mean, the chance to make a choice and make the right choice in life is already passed. Now we have to deal with the consequences. And I don't think this is up to us to negotiate this. and say, okay, where are we at? This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you accept it, great, let's move forward and get through this like we do with many, many other cases. If we don't want to accept it and you want to fight this, you need to realize we're not the ones that have to bend here. Like, that this is a major, major thing. The chance to make the appropriate choice to avoid this is well in the past. Now we have to move forward, and we're moving forward with what we're saying we're going to accept. And like, this is not a negotiation. This is what's happening.
And then, Dr. Wright, members of the board, I think the question really becomes, do you want to just adopt an order that is consistent with the consent agreement without the period of without the provision of a state suspension? Or do you think that is something that this case warrants, in which case you would just simply need to remand it to formal hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I move we remand it to formal hearing.
Do you have a motion?
Come on, second. I'll second.
About time. We have a motion on the floor and a second to remand 2168 to a formal hearing. Any further discussion? Since we're taking that level of action, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Ray?
Aye.
Motion passes.
That motion passes, and we will schedule that case for a formal interview. All right, so let's get up what we have. Let's go to